Game on 2FM.
In association with Rabo Direct, the Straight Talking Savings Bank.
Hello, you're very welcome to Game On. We're live from our Viva Fan Studio at the Viva Stadium in Dublin. Yeah, we've a packed house here tonight. We are, of course, here to preview the Republic of Ireland's Crunch Euro 2016 qualifier against Poland on Sunday. And we have a brilliant panel to take you through it. Introducing first, please, in your appreciation, former Republic of Ireland manager, RTE soccer analyst and a legend around these parts, Mr. Brian Kerr. 48 caps for his country, over 200 appearances for Charlton and a former Villa and West Brom midfielder, Mark Kinsella. Yes, the last of his 16 caps, August 2006 against the Netherlands, over 200 appearances for Stoke, 142 for Cardiff, over a 19-year professional career. Ladies and gentlemen, Graeme Kavanagh. Yes, and last but not least, he's Sligo's finest export, over 150 appearances in the League of Ireland, Paul Brady's biggest fan, Alan Colley. I just want to let you know about a competition we're running on the programme tonight. So the audience as well, if you're on Twitter, at GameOn2FM, you should follow us, basically retweet and just follow the instructions on the competition account. This to win, with thanks to Aviva, two premium tickets for the match, Ireland against Poland on Sunday. So if you want to be in with a chance to win that, as I say, at GameOn2FM on Twitter, check out the competition tweet and all the instructions are there. 51552 for your text. We're going to throw out, by the way, if anybody has questions over the next hour, please just put your hand up. Robbie has the microphone here. He's going to go around and the lads will do their best to answer the questions. Hashtag Aviva Fan Studio as well if you're listening and you want to get involved in the conversation throughout the next hour or so. Alan, you looking forward to the match?
Good evening. Yeah, definitely. You see the crowd here, obviously, all in good spirits. And the anticipation is building nicely. You saw a huge game again on Sunday, and I think this is the part of the season now where the early games, Martin O'Neill always felt it was just trying to obviously get good performances, if we can get points on the board as well, to keep us in the table, whereas he felt that the four games that we have now obviously coming up at home out of the next five, they're the important ones where we obviously need to try and establish ourselves as one of the main fellas to try and qualify.
And there is this excitement, Graeme, as well, that, you know, it's a home game, which is brilliant, but is it nervousness as well after what happened in Scotland that we can't afford to lose this one?
I 100% agree with that. I don't think we can afford to lose at all. I think with the way the group is shaping up, with the performance against Scotland, getting beaten 1-0, probably not playing as well as we were capable of or we would have liked to, that was disappointing. But it's an opportunity to bounce back now. You know, we've got a tough game on Sunday against a very good team, who are obviously, you know, they've shown well up in the campaign so far, and it's going to be difficult. But we've proved in the past here that at the Aviva that we're more than capable of matching the bigger teams, and hopefully that's the case on Sunday.
How important, Mark, is the crowd going to be? It's something we'll touch on later on, but you know, you've played here so many times in front of this passionate Irish support. How important is that going to be?
It's very, very important. It's the 12th man. You know, the old Lansdowne, the atmosphere was fantastic. And when it's going well and when you're winning games, it's brilliant. But like the lads have said, it's a no. We have to win. On Germany, I don't think we'll lose another game. Poland, we need to take points off them, if not win them. And Scotland, again, we've got to play them, it's going to be tough. So I think for us to progress, I think we need the 3 points.
And Brian, you know, you would have put out an Ireland team against Poland in 2004. What are they like? I mean, I know it's a different team. Arthur Burge, I think, is the only player left. John O'Shea for Ireland. But they're a decent side, full of quality.
Well, I was just asking Mark, had he played in the match?
He did, yeah.
In Bidigash, and he did.
I
was trying to remind him of a few bits of it, but he remembered the pitch was brutal. It was. But what sort of a team are they? They're quite a good side. They play on the break. Match with Germany, they hadn't a lot of possession, but they won the match 2-0, played cleverly. The two lads... Lewandowski is the main man.
And Malik,
Malik, the lad with Ajax, got the first goal, and then LeBron, Mila, he got the second goal. But they hadn't got an awful lot of the ball, prepared to sit in and defend and play like that. Against Scotland, it was a very even match in their home game at Scotland. Almost the same team, very rigid formation, 4-4-1-1. Don't vary it too much. The two wide players took in and helped out in midfield. The two front men don't do an awful lot of tracking back or helping out in the middle of the field. Strong in defence, two centre backs, Glick and Sekula, decent players, but a bit stiff looking at the same time. I think little Nicky fellas could get at them a bit.
Okay. All right, I'm sensing a lot of optimism here.
But they've got a problem in that they've five key players missing. The two players on each side, Piszczek, the right back, the left back, Jedaniak, I think.
I'll let you have a go at that one.
I'll have a go at that one. The right side of the fella is Grosicki, and the left side of the fella is Sabata. That's four players in that, you know, left back, left side of the player, right back, right side, and Jakub Blazikowski. he was also, I don't know why the manager hasn't picked him, because he was captain. He's a main man at Dortmund. He's been out injured, but he's been back playing for Dortmund, so I don't know why he's not playing. But the other four have been, the last two games, they've been in the team starters. So I think that gives us a chance.
I'm sensing from you that you think we should be going at these lads.
Well, I mean, this pair in the middle have played in home internationals here frequently, and they know what it's like. Mm. You need to be up and at it as the home team. You've got to take the game. That's, you know, if you ask about the crowd here and how important the crowd is, I think there's been a change. It used to be that the crowd inspired the players, and there was a feeling, I think, what I got when I was here as a manager, when you come out, the players sensed the crowd were really with them from the start and were willing them from the off, and every tackle, every ball, they were helping to win it. Now, I get a feeling that a lot of the people are like interested onlookers, waiting on the players to inspire them to cheer.
Right.
And too often the atmosphere has been like that. This is the first game, I think, where the place, there really be a sense of tension in the ground. You know, it wasn't against Gibraltar, and it wasn't some of the matches in the last campaign either, against the lesser lights. Mm. So I think there's this should be different. This should be a little bit like maybe some of the more recent rugby games, where the place is packed, there's an edge about it, and everybody is really, really understand that they've a part to play in it. It's not about just being a spectator, an interested onlooker. You have to be involved. You have to help the team. It's not fair. I mean, you this is all.
Mark,
I'd say it's fair, but it's one of them where Brian just said we've got to be patient. Yeah. If they're going to sit back and try and hit us on the break, which they've done against you, they'll do it Sunday.
Yeah,
I think the crowd will know that. The players have to know that. And you've got to be careful when you are going to take the game to them. If that's their strength, you could be a goal down after 10, 15 minutes.
There's a massive difference, though, between going out to a crowd that's willing on for everything and then the crowd waiting for you to inspire them. There's a huge difference in that.
Absolutely. But, you know, the first tackle was always said, you know, get the crowd up, get them behind you. But I think it's got to be a patient game. We have to take the game to them, but very cautiously. And not get stung on a counter attack, and then it gets harder and harder. As long as we're still in the game, 60, 70 minutes to go, we'll create chances. Mm. We'll create chances, just a matter of taking them, but we've got to limit the opposition.
It's a fine balance, isn't it, Graham, between taking it to them and not getting hit with that counter attack that we know that they do against all manner of teams.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Polish teams of years gone by, they're physical, they're big, they're strong, they're powerful. I think the key on Sunday is staying in the game for as long as we can. I think if we go with the expectation of the fans to come and be entertained and come and play an expansive game of football, fullbacks are overlapping, we're committing players ahead of the game, we will get done on the break. It's whether we can actually keep a clean sheet. And I think if we can keep a clean sheet, because we are solid, we are playing from within our shape, but we are looking to get forward, whether it be a pass, whether it be a tackle, whether it be a header, whatever it is, we all as a team get together, get in amongst them, get the fans on side, which I'm sure they will be. And as the boys have said, straight from the off, I think that has now been, you know, you can sort of feel, I can feel it in the city today, the build-up to the game, the excitement, you know, everybody is willing, the players, to do well, as they generally always do, but that has to come from the stand as well as the pitch. And if it's 70, 75 minutes, don't panic. If we're still in the game and it's 0-0, a set piece could decide, as we've seen the game in Hamden Park.
Listen to Graham and Mark there. I mean, Martin O'Neill has a team to pick, first of all, and we don't know what that is yet, but we can talk about that a little bit later on. But it's his job to get that balance right and to set his team up in a certain way that, you know, with 60, 70 minutes gone, we're still in the game.
Yeah, it's a big balance. It is, Hugh. And I think from what we've seen already from Martin O'Neill over his managerial career, and especially the Irish games that we've seen, he does tend to be cautious. He's not going to come over here, and even though we're obviously at home against Poland and go gung-ho, I wouldn't expect him to either. It's too big of a game because, as the boys said, you will be picked off. But I definitely feel now that we're at home, there's an onus on us to come out and definitely have a go. And pick, like as Brian said, get people off their seats, you know, get them behind you. Even though there is that sense that the fans might be waiting for the players to give them something, the players haven't really given them an awful lot to get them off their seats, you would have to say, in some of the games that we've seen. So now that he kept reverting back, he always kept saying, we have the four games out of the next five at home. They're the ones that will decide the group. So here we are at home. We always go back to the old Lansdowne. It's time to maybe make the Aviva a bit of a fortress as well, like the old Lansdowne was. And hopefully we can do that on Sunday and have a right go.
I think we have our first question from the floor. Yeah.
Hi, Alan Quinn here. I'd just like to say, Ward, our left-full back, who's in contention for a game at the weekend, he doesn't seem to be playing for Burnley, and he doesn't get a game. Now, I just feel that there's a left-full back under Martin O'Neill's nose, and he doesn't even see him. And that's James McLean. And he would be my left back for the Republic of Ireland. And what do you think of that?
Brian.
Well, I think left wingers, as time goes on, they often end up playing left back, like Kevin Coban did. Kevin.
Ashley Young as well.
Kevin. Who? Does he play for Ireland? No.
Well, I'm a Villa fan, you know, so. Come back to Mark.
No, I think, you know, he saw Kevin over his career. He played on the left side, and then he played in the middle as well. And then he went back to left back, and you can adapt the position, but it's a specialist position as well in terms of the balance of defending and attacking. I think James is still at a stage where he's learning the attacking bit on a consistent basis, the timing of when to cross it, when to hold on to it, when to dribble. So whether he knows about, but I think the potential may be there because he's certainly rough enough and he can tackle and he doesn't mind getting stuck in. But the cuteness of the full-back position is often about biding your time and not having that rush of blood to your head to want to dive in and make the tackle, and also to be aware of where your man is when the ball's on the other side of the pitch. And I don't know whether that, you know, whether he'd have that. I think it'd be a big risk for him to change it without him having played there at club level or in any of the friendlies. I don't think he played there even in those summer friendlies in America when we had the three games there. So I think long term you might be right, but for this one I think it might be best to go with someone who's played left back before.
Yeah, Graham, just on that, I mean it's a huge gamble to take somebody who hasn't really played an awful lot in a specialised position that Brian says and throw him in such a big game like this particularly.
I'd be very surprised if he plays James McLean left back for the game that it is. Yeah. You know, we can't afford to lose a game, as we said. Yes, we want to go and attack the opposition, but we don't want to go gung-ho. I think if you're a left winger, a right winger, you know, that attack offensive minded player, your first thought is when the ball gets forward, you want to go and join in. And that's fine when you have a player behind you who's always going to sit in behind you and going to actually defend your mistakes. I think you start thinking about the balls on the other side when it's coming in. Are you actually going to cover your centre-half, get across, win headers the back post? As honest and committed as he is, I think it might be just a task too much of him on this occasion. If you're going to bed him maybe in a Gibraltar game and you know you're going to dominate the ball, you know you're going to be able to create overloads,
yeah,
probably don't have the quality to catch on the counters as quickly as Poland will be capable of, I'd be surprised to see him playing Saturday. But you never know, man.
Is John O'Shea's form at the moment a bit of a concern, Mark, just the way Sunderland are going?
Probably. You know, you're down the bottom, you're fighting for your lives in the Premier League, but also they've, I think the paper today was, forget about your club, it's your country now.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when you get off, you come over here, you can't forget about it. You've got a new focus for the next week or so, and you can get away from it. And I think he'll be fine. He's an experienced pro. Going on the fullback, James McLean, he might be one that he'll throw in the last 20 minutes as an attacking fullback if you're chasing the game. But he'll go with strength. He's a good sized ward, and he'll make sure we're solid at the back. But like I said, these wingers become a defender. You can throw them on if you're chasing games, go on the overlap, go on attack and gamble. But you won't be gambling in the first 5 or 10 minutes. I think he'd be solid in the back four.
Just speaking about Shazy, I've always found, no matter what era, you know, before going into the Irish set up around 1990s and through the 2000s, whatever, it was always a breath of fresh air coming away with Ireland. Didn't matter what your club form was like, didn't matter if you were top of the table, middle of the table, or bottom of the table, and even in terms of your own personal form, if you were playing well or you weren't. Once you came into the environment, met the lads again, there's always a good buzz, there's always a good feeling, really good spirit. you know, the staff created, the fans created, and it's easy to switch off if you like. It's easy to put your club form behind you, and Shays he'll be more than capable of doing. I'm sure he'll use all his experience. They haven't had the best of seasons up at Sunderland. I've seen them quite a bit this season, and they have looked a little bit ropey to say the least. But I'm sure he'll cherish the opportunity of playing on Saturday.
You know, it shouldn't be forgotten, John was man of the match in Germany.
That's what I was going to say.
Two matches ago, he was their man holding the, keeping the whole thing together without putting aside the fact that he rescued the point with the goal.
Yeah.
He was our outstanding player in the middle of the box when we were getting fairly intense pressure in the first half. And when the pressure increased in the second half and around the time of the goal, John did very well. So I wouldn't be concerned.
He's probably delighted at the break, is he, Brian? Yeah, he'd be delighted to get
home. Imagine the Sunderland, like, you know, Sunderland, the problem isn't John O'Shea, you know.
Yeah.
Sunderland, the whole team there has been conceding a few goals all around. I don't think it's...
Well, if he is in any way kind of, say, a little bit... This is the perfect opportunity, as Alan just said, just to put that behind and come into it. And, you know, Roy and Martin, I'm sure, will spot fairly early on if he needed just a bit of an arm around the show, say, right, come on, you're out of Sunderland now, get into the Irish form, if you like.
Yeah, I think he's experienced enough, as the lad said. He's 100 caps and he's a bit older than the two now, Hugh, for worrying about his club form. As Graham said there, I'm sure he's delighted of the break because of the carry-on that's going on at Sunderland at the moment. So he knows how big a game is, and I wouldn't worry at all. I think he'd be fine.
Speaking of getting on, holding the tootin', 100 caps, Shay Given or David Ford, is a decision to be made in goals there. According to Shay Given, he wants to play. He's been pushing his form at Villa's very good. David obviously had a brilliant game last weekend for Millwall, and he wants to hang on to that jersey. What do you do?
Yeah, well, for me, David Ford has let nobody down since he became the number one. Shay obviously retired and came back. Now, no one can ever question Shay Given's ability and his commitment to the country. He's been a fantastic goalkeeper over the years. But I think David Ford is your number one keeper. And I listened to the comments that Shay said. Of course he wants to play. I know he's kind of had a bit of a... Since Sherwood has come back in, he's given him more game time and he's done quite well. And I know he's massively experienced. But David Ford, I think, is your number one, and you stick by him. And I think Martin will on Sunday.
What do you think, Mark? I mean, Shay, he was never coming back out of retirement to sit on the bench. He wants to play, and now he's openly said it this week. And maybe it's healthy competition, but does Martin O'Neill have a choice here to make?
He always has a choice. I think Shay had retired, and he's not playing for Villa, and he wants a different direction. He wants to get away from Villa. Turn up for Ireland, Senior are available again. Gets him away from all that, gives him a new direction. But, the forward hasn't put a foot wrong, really. He's been successful as an Irish keeper, and Shay... It's coming in, just had to be a number two, unless Fordy gets injured. And I would, managers have to make decisions, but you know, I think he'll go with Ford, and Shay will just have to bite the bullet and sit on the bench and be ready when's needed. But like I said, it's Fordy now has a battle on his hand. Maybe that's probably why they brought him back in.
Mm.
Give him a lift and you know, keep going, you're the number one. But you know, there's no reason to leave him out.
If it's a situation where Shay Given is flying and training and pressing everybody, but as Alan said, Dave Ford has done nothing wrong, Who do you pick then?
Well, I got me chance of picking, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who I pick.
Who do you think Martin will pick?
Well, he's a hard one to read, but I would think in this situation, like Mark said, you usually only change a goalkeeper when he's having a bad time for you. Now, he couldn't have been faulted, I think, on the goal in Scotland when Maloney bent the ball into the far corner off the short corner and the back heel by Naismith. He wasn't at fault at all. He made a couple of reasonable saves in that match. But more importantly, in the match, I actually watched the match with Germany today again for some reason, for a little bit of torture. But... I'd forgotten how many good saves he made in that match. He didn't have much to do in the first half, but just before half time, he made a critical save on the near post, right on half time. And then, when it was 1-0, he made a brilliant save. I'd say, I think it was about the 87th minute from a shot from Cruz, really close in shot, and he got a flick on it over the bar. It was a brilliant save. 2-0, John O'Shea's goal wouldn't have mattered.
Mm.
It was empty. So he was sharp off the mark. The odd kick out here and there in Scotland that went astray or went into touch when he tried to get it up the line. But I think he's the one in the position. And if you're asking me, do I think Martin will pick him or Shea, I think Martin will pick David Ford again. I don't think he's done anything wrong. If he's let in some goals for Millwall, I'm not sure that counts really so much to you.
Well, he's had to bide his time for so long as well, in fairness to him. He's had to wait his opportunity, Hugh. And in fairness, you always say, when you get the opportunity, you have to grab it with both hands. And he has done that, in fairness to him. And some of his comments during the week, Ford, I would have loved if he was a bit more forceful, because Shea was really kind of saying, I'm going to play, but I really want to play. And Ford, he was kind of like, he's a relaxed fella anyway, you know, and he was kind of like, well, yeah, look, I know Shea's back, whatever, but I would have loved to, he said, look, I'm number one, I've done nothing wrong here, and I'm the man in position.
I mean, after having waited so long behind Shea Given, when he does retire and then he gets that jersey, and then all of a sudden your man comes back in again, he must be going, what do I have to do to get rid of Shea Given?
Well, you're saying Ford, he's a calm and relaxed sort of fellow. I'll bet any money, as soon as they step across that white line in training, the two teams are picked and both are facing each other up. Yeah. Both of them are trying to outdo each other, trying to make save after save. And
they probably don't even get a game to train. It's the first time I've ever seen four goalkeepers lining up for the team photographed. I'm looking around, says, what do you need so many goalkeepers for? There was four, what colour? That's a purple, is it?
Yeah.
No, if it's a purple, the jersey. Yeah.
That's obviously where you went wrong, Brian.
I know, we should have picked more.
Should have picked more goalkeepers, less midfielders.
Unlucky kids.
He's picking you then, is he?
We have a question for the floor. Good time to take it, I think. Yeah.
Hey, don't lads. Jimmy Mooney here. Nice to see us. Just a question regarding Jack Grealish and the way I think he was headhunted to come play for Ireland. Like, forcefully headhunted. Alan, you as a prominent League of Ireland player, do you not think that League of Ireland players should get more of a chance with the Irish international team rather than going and giving guys awards so they decide to play for Ireland?
Yeah, it's a tough one, Jimmy, to be honest. It's a good beard, by the way. Yeah, it's a hard one because obviously I've been involved with the league for the last number of years and seen the players, and you would have to say the quality in the league has probably dipped off in the last 3 or 4 years. Now there's certain individuals, don't get me wrong, there's always one or two will stick out.
Forrester.
Towell springs to mind, Forrester, yeah. But whether they've done enough to be getting into international squads, I don't think so, to be honest with you. And by all accounts, this young lad Grealish is hot property, you know, and they've high hopes from him. Now, looking at the award situation, I'm not sure what went on in terms of bringing him over. And there is the decision to be made whether he's going to obviously go for England or Ireland. But I think he said during the week, maybe if he takes some time off, he will play next year. But if you're comparing him, I suppose, playing at Aston Villa, being involved in the first team, to lads who are playing here in the League of Ireland, and I'm all for the League of Ireland, but there's a big divide there, you would have to say.
Brian, I mean, you know, we had Eamon Dunphy during the week say that Ireland should have done more to get Harry Kane, you know, to try and play for Ireland when he was eligible. Now, read into that what you want, but is it necessarily a slight in the League of Ireland if the Irish are trying to get as many decent players to declare for the Republic of Ireland as they possibly can? That's not necessarily an insult, is it, towards the League of Ireland, or do you think it is?
I was just thinking, the three fellas here all play for Ireland. I didn't, right? There wasn't any doubt about any of them. They wouldn't have got away with it anywhere else, would they, with the accents of the three lads,
no,
right?
Yeah.
Now, I think when the picture is put up about players playing for us, and headhunted, I think, is a harsh term to put on that, given that the kid played for us at under 17, under 19. He's been playing the under 21s. I saw him playing the under 21s when he was still eligible for the under 19s. And he was the outstanding player on the pitch. And if I had have had a vote, which I didn't, on the under 21 player of the year, based on what I saw, he would have been the best player for me. I don't know how many matches he played in the campaign or who has a vote in it, but it used to be a time where the manager, I used to vote on who the player of the year was at under 17 and 18 and 19, because I saw all the matches and the training and so on. I don't know what happens at 21 as a journalist. To go to the balance of the... I can't say anything about Martin O'Neill or any other manager not picking League of Ireland players, because I didn't pick them. Mm-hmm. I gave Glenn Crowe one cap when he was the main man of the League of Ireland, battering in goals for Shelbourne at the time, and Bowes after that again. And And Jason Bourne actually played in the match in Poland that
That's
we're
right,
talking
yeah.
about. Jason Bourne, that was his one cap when he came on. But, you know, the reality, as Alan said, of it is, it's such a big step to go, and I don't think the League of Ireland has disimproved in the last 3 years. I think the league has been better in the last 3 years than the previous 3 years.
I think
younger players that came into that league in a glut about 5 years ago have now matured a bit, and there's better players, and there's a few of the more experienced ones coming back. But I still don't think it's good enough. I think, like, Keith Fahey and Steve McPhail.
Yeah.
And there's another one.
Liam Miller.
Well, okay, I'll go back then. Keith Fahey and Steve McPhail are the last two that played in the international team that are in the League of Ireland. They're the most recent, I'd say. And Keith Fahey, it's probably 2 years now since he played in a match here with Jeremy and we were beating 6-1. I think that was his last cap. Yeah. Now, is Keith as good as player now as he was then? No, he's not. Because he's not playing at as high a tempo week in, week out. You can look at other countries and they adapt to that. If you take the likes of Luxembourg, Liechtenstein, Andorra, San Marino, and even the Faroes, where the players are playing in their own league and they're picked for the international team. But they're playing the international team all the time and they adapt to that standard. They may not be able to get regular results in it, but whereas you take a League of Ireland player out of it and put him in for one match or two matches, it's too much, particularly in a competitive match. That would be my opinion. And I think they've got to play at a higher level, competitive level, week in, week out. But we're not going to be picking fellas out of Division 1. And Graham and Mark know what Division 1 and Division 2 is like. They've managed around there. They've coached in it. They know how competitive. But we don't have players in those leagues playing now. I think if we can go down this year, James McLean won't be going to play in that league. He'll want to get out of that, so he's still in the Irish squad.
Mark, I mean, you're well placed up in Drogheda yourself and Johnny at the moment. I mean, just in terms of assessing maybe the different standards between England and where you were in Colchester with the likes of Drogheda, what's your view on it?
Well, they keep asking me what league is it the same as in I would put non-league and League Two probably as close as they're not. You know, the stand, I've only seen four games. I haven't seen Roy O'Martin in any of our games.
Yeah, I know.
At the moment, looking at the League of Ireland players, but it's one of them. I haven't seen anyone stand out. The standard's been okay, been sloppy at times. There's not a lot in the games, and we played Sligo, Limerick, Galway, and Bray, and they're all below us at this moment in time in the league. And we're disappointed we haven't had 12 out of 12 because we know we've got the big hitters coming up now in the next 4 weeks where we're going to be scraping for points.
Yeah.
But nobody individually has stood out and not gone, but, you know, he's a very, very good player. You know, there's much and muchness in ourselves and who we've played against. The decision's down to the manager whether he's going to pick a League of Ireland player. I would say no. I think the League of Ireland player's got to get himself over to England and start playing. And yes, he's got to get into the Championship if he wants to play international football, because you're not going to very rarely from League One or League Two. Jack Grealish, going back to him, played against us last year in League One and he ripped us apart.
Really?
As a kid. I watched the kid since he was 15 at Villa training, and he was lippy, mouthy, confident, and he's got all the ability in the world. Yes, he'd be a great signing for Ireland. Just do it. If you want to play for Ireland, do it. If you want to wait for England, wait for England. He might not get picked, and he probably won't get picked. But for Ireland, if we do pick him, he'll play. He's got the ability to play at international level, and he needs to start playing at international level. But he's make a decision. We're all Irishmen, and we want to play for our own country. Mm. You know, they're getting Harry Kane's the same. They're going to get an opportunity to play for two countries, but you got to make a decision because you'll prolong it. And you know, that's how it is.
Yeah, Graham.
Well, personally, I'm doing a little bit of scouting now over in England, so I know how it sort of works, and obviously I've managed the League One and stuff. Jack Grealish, is, as an example, last season on loan at Notts County, you know, as Mark said, outstanding for that level. He's obviously trained with the first team at Aston Villa. Had the courage, if you like, to drop down two leagues, go and play, go and express himself, go and get some game time, get invaluable experience against men where it actually matters. This under-21 league for me in England at the moment is a joke, the 18 to 21, and you know that development period, although it's hugely important. But listening to a lot of the Irish scouts in England who are asking about potential players who can come and play, the first question I'd be asking is, listen, who's your first choice? Is it Ireland, is it England? If the answer is England, then see you later. And if it's Ireland, get on board. You know, our pool isn't as great or as big as we would obviously like it to be. But I do think if a player with the potential of Grealish comes along and he has any interest or inkling in playing for our country, by all means, get him on board. You know, last season he came to Notts County, and he was the one player on the pitch where he had his socks down, he had his socks tucked inside his shin pads, and he was a target every game. I mean, even as a manager, horrible to say, but I was saying, smash him. Get him amongst them. Yeah. Let him show what League One's about. And do you know what? He had this swagger about him. He had this arrogance. He played with confidence.
He knew it was coming, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and to be fair to him, although we knew it, he had the tackles. Yeah, he had the ability to cope with it, and he had the mental strength, if you like, and good luck to the kids. So if he comes and plays for us,
I need to contradict myself and about picking players to a degree. No bother for me, but I went to see Graham playing for Cardiff in Division One, and I think I picked him when you were still in Division One. Did I pick you, put you in the squad, or you were on the way up?
Yeah, but I was brilliant, wasn't I?
No, I was going to tell the rest of the story.
Go on.
The rest of the story was, it was Cardiff against Chesterfield on a Sunday morning in Chesterfield, and I thought it was going to be really nice and there'd be girls cycling bicycles with books and baskets at the front and fellas out washing their cars, and be all very nice in Chesterfield on a Sunday morning. I got there, it was like a war zone. There was police, there was dogs, there was vans, there was helicopters, there was bulletproof vests, there was a whole... That was only because Graham was playing in midfield. No, it was the Cardiff... Brilliant. Cardiff lads weren't the most welcome supporters in the country, but you were great in the match. There was Willie Boland was playing, and actually Jonathan Douglas played his first match on loan for Chesterfield from Blackburn. And he was brilliant. Jonathan was brilliant in the game. Yeah. And then Steve Staunton picked him for the senior team. He played for us underage matches. And it was a really good day for me going to the match to see what I saw. But it's not impossible for a fella playing Division One,
sure,
to play for Ireland. But they were on the way up. And you went up that year, didn't you? And did well then in the championship as well. But you need to be at that level to play international football against the likes of Poland, Scotland, and Germany, certainly.
Okay, we have another question from our Aviva fan studio.
How are we doing, fellas? Colin Duffy's my name. Graham, you sort of alluded half jokingly about when Shay Given would shape up to David Ford in the training session. Now, Roy, in his chat on Tuesday, suggested that there was a lot of positions were still up for grabs and that there was decent tempo to the training. In your experiences, the whole four of you, like through club or country, have you found when there's an incentive like that, that it can go over the top and players can sort of say, well, it's either me or him? I'm not asking you to name names, but I'm sure it has happened.
Yeah, of course it is, 100%. I mean, you know, as I say, you arrive, you know, everybody's dead friendly, everybody's, you know, polite to each other, and you know, we all have the utmost respect. But once you step across that line in the training session, you're vying for that jersey, whether it be a midfield player or wherever it was. And I always remember Brian being manager, and we used to play Dublin against the rest of the world. Obviously, we're all Irish, but it was Dublin against
the... It was Dublin against the Colchis. That's all right.
The rest of the world?
The rest of the world being, we had Clinton and we had one or two others, right? So them games used to get incredibly heated, and after a while it was like, listen... I think Brian stopped him after a while because the tackles were fine. And not because you were actually trying to hurt anybody in your team, but it was that competitive edge, that spirit, that desire to actually want to win and have that, you know, be sitting at the dinner table in the evening, you've beat the Colchis 2-1 or whatever it would be. And it was...
Colchis at all was doing great, to be honest.
It was all good crack, but very much, you know, the managers will be looking who's in form. Have they brought that form from the club to the training session? Likewise, as we spoke with John O'Shea, is John carrying a little bit of a hangover from the performances? Is he a bit down? Does he need an arm around him? And these are all question marks that have to be answered. But we spoke before the show, and we were trying to guess what team it'll be Sunday. I think the real bonus, if you like, for Martin, there's an awful lot of players who can play in an awful lot of positions. And there's players playing with a good deal of form at the moment. You know, you have Darren Murphy playing very well up top of the pitch and, you know, scoring goals. So there are options that we have, and it'll be very interesting to see who he picks on for the game.
Thanks, Mark, very much.
Yeah, thanks for a good question, by the way. Mark, just on that, I mean, look, these lads don't get to where they are without having that just inner competitive streak. And just because they come back and they're with their fellow countrymen playing for Ireland, that doesn't mean any of that goes away.
Absolutely. I mean, I was fortunate enough to play for Ireland at a time when it was success and we were winning majority of our games every month and qualifying. So it was the same 22-man squad probably every time. People wanted to play. The manager knew, Mick, so probably Brian would have to ask, but he knew his 11 Saturday before we were playing on the Wednesday, before we met up, hoping that everyone's fit. They come through the weekend, bang, and they turn up on the Monday. Now, I'd turn up a few times and wouldn't train on the Monday with a niggle, as would a couple of others, but you'd be ready for Tuesday and Wednesday. And I think it was consistent that way. Tackling and trying to play is more like club level. And back end of my career, Charlton, there was a young whippersnapper called Scotty Parker.
Yeah.
They loaned him off to Norwich. He was one of our better, he was only 17, 18, one of our better players coming through. And there was a lot of potential. So they loaned him off to Norwich and he scored some like 6 goals on loan in 3 months. And he comes back to train and he trained like he played. And he was smashing it to me for tackles, smashing it to other midfielders. And you pick him up and you say, what are you doing? And he'd come again at you. And that was day in, it was relentless. And in the end, I think about 18 months later, I ended up moving.
You got an injury then, didn't you? Because
he got me my move. I ended up going to back in, I think, Cobb saw him coming through. Yeah. Saw the next generation. I ended up going to Villa 2002 after the World Cup. And Scotty went on and became a top player in the Premier League. But that's the way certain players, you can't take the mentality out of them. And that's what you try and tell kids now. Or players are all... train like you play.
Yeah.
Don't leave anything on the training pitch. Don't leave anything on the game on a Saturday. Because if you don't train Monday to Friday, you ain't going to do it on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So you have to have that mentality. And certain players have that mentality. And that's why they play at the top.
Alan, in terms of the team that Martin is going to pick, and we'll wait and see what happens, but you have a soft spot for Wes, obviously, as you know him pretty well, Wes Hoolan, and you'd like to see him involved because of the creativity that gives you the ability to retain the possession, retain the football, which we are going to need against this Polish team. So, do you think he will play?
As you said, I have a massive soft spot for Wes Hugh. Whether he'll play or not...
He's flying it for Norwich at the
moment. Yeah, flying it, absolutely flying. Funny, I bumped into him today in Portmarnock.
In the bookies. Putting 20 grand on himself for the first goal scorer on
Sunday.
Coffee
shop next door to us. But I had a chat with him and he actually got a knock yesterday in training. So I'd say he's not the type to cry off for a little knock. I'm sure he'd be fine. But I have a massive soft spot for Wes. And purely, even forget about his talent too, but he's the type of player, right, at international level. And the one thing we always struggle at is keeping possession of the ball. And you see all the other nationalities and even the lesser nations are all good at it. It's just the mentality, the way they're brought up. We're more blood and guts and the whole lot, the Irish spirit and all. And that's fine. But you need to keep the ball, especially international level. And I find we struggle in games to keep the ball. We really do. Whereas when Wezo's on, and especially against the quality of Poland or Germany or some of the better teams, when we're going to be under the cosh at times, he just relieves that pressure. Especially we're talking about John O'Shea maybe feeling a bit out of form, out of spirits. He just gives the defenders a break, relieves pressure. He just lends it to people, gets it back. And then, of course, on the offensive side of things, he's so good at creating chances and opportunities. And if you have the likes of Robbie Keane, we've only scored, if you take the 7 goals out of the group from Gibraltar, we've only scored 3 goals in the games. Have we really looked like carving teams open, creating great chances? Probably not. I'm a massive fan of Wes, as everyone knows, and I'd love to see him play because I think with McCarthy and Whelan, and the boys that know better, the two midfielders you have here, there's plenty in them to sit in and give Wes the freedom and the room to kind of go on and play and do not a luxury role by any means. He works as hard as anyone Wes does, and that's something that people don't see either. But definitely with the experience of Whelan and McCarthy, if you have them sitting there, I feel he has to play.
Graham, you're nodding your head there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he played Walters on the right, Seamus Coleman right back. And just looking at the games I've seen, it looks to me that Robbie really enjoys playing with Wes.
Yeah.
I think when Robbie plays with Wes, he plays higher up the pitch, he plays more on the shoulder of the defender. And Wes, who picks up pockets in front of the fullbacks and behind centre midfield players, and he's a little bit of a nightmare to mark. As a centre back, do you go in after him? Do you narrow off as fullbacks? And then obviously in the wide areas with the likes of McGeady, we had to get out wide. I think with Wes, for me, in a game like this, he will... At some stage through the game, he'll create an opportunity, and whether we can take it or not is another matter. But I do think the confidence, regardless of 3, 4, 5 passes that he actually plays through that don't get there, he'd still want to get on the ball, and he still will threaten that pass in behind, which obviously will get us up the pitch. And if Robbie's on form, and as we know we can do, he can finish for fun. So, let's see if it happens.
Brian, you know Wes, obviously, well, you've watched him for a long, long time.
Yeah, he played with you in under 17 match, did he?
Aye, yeah, all through the years, Brian. Yeah,
yeah. When we beat France one night, he played that one.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, we won 2-0. But I know Wes, I would just caution a little bit on this because sometimes people start running with the ball.
Yeah.
And they haven't looked at the pitch. Wes wasn't in the Norwich team for a fair bit of this season. He wasn't always in the starting 11. He's had a little run lately, and he's got a couple of goals. He had injuries. He missed. He wasn't involved in the Scotch match. He did well. The little spell he come on against Germany, he was about 14 minutes left when he come on, and he had 3 touches the ball in the first 8 seconds when he come on actually, and. Then he faded a little bit. He got brushed off the ball a few times after that. We had a chance of counter-attack. But critically, he was involved in the bit at the end. He had the shot that was blocked by the full-back, by the left-back. And then he crossed the ball that Hendrick got back in for the goal. So, yeah, I think he created a goal. I'm not convinced. I haven't seen enough of his form this year to say he should start against a very strong physical team. The 2 centre midfield players, Krajowiak, he's a huge fella, big guy. Fella plays for Seville, he's a good player. The other fella plays beside him, Jadlovic, decent player as well, but very, very strong physically. And they play in front of 2 big centre halves. Now, I think there's an opportunity there, all right, for a small player to find a bit of space. But I don't know what combination it's to be. Is Robbie going to play? It doesn't really matter what I think anyway, because the manager picks this team and he's hard to read at times, the combinations. Aidan McGeady played in Germany off the front behind Robbie and
didn't really work.
They didn't get a kick of the ball in the first half hardly, you know. And then the next match, it's Robbie's left out and it's Walters and Long up front. Next match, so it's 2 different fellas all together. So the next match, will it be a combination of one of them and one from the other match, or what will it be? I don't know, but you know, I think Wes does give us all those things. But I think what's much more critical is that we get a bit of the ball from the fellas for the back, and we get a bit of ball into feet, and we keep it a bit, and we're not just dependent on it. Sling it up there and see how you do in the air.
Okay, last chance to enter a competition, by the way, at Game On 2FM for 2 tickets for Ireland against Poland on Sunday at Game On 2FM on Twitter. We have a question from the Viva Fan Studio. Hiya.
Hi, how are you doing, lads? My name is Aidan McCann. I just have a question. I just want to go back to the point you made there, Graeme, in relation to the training session that you used to have where you were discussing the dubs against the rest of the world, or the cultures, as Brian bluntly put it. Just in the current Ireland team, I don't really see the aggression that you're talking about now as I used to with the team that you and Keane and the likes all used to be in. Where's that aggression gone? Like, when we're going 1-0 down, 2-0 down, who do we look to? There's no leaders there anymore. Like, 1-0 down, who do you look at the pitch? Who are we going to be like, okay, that's the guy who's going to pull us back?
Well, I think, first of all, I think, you know, you've got to understand the way the game is at the moment. I think it's completely changed. I mean, remember, I think Mark played in the game here when we played Holland. I think Roy completely wiped out Overmars in the first couple of minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Put his mark on it. Everybody knew, you know, that happened now. It's a red card. He's not involved in the game. So to do that now, we're down to 10 men. So it's a little bit more difficult. I think around the pitch, there are leaders. I think, you know, John O'Shea, I think Glenn Whelan, I think Robbie definitely. You know, I do think there are players who are prepared to have a go at each other, or are prepared to use their voice. But I think it's the manner in which you do, and I think we have to be more compact, and we've got to be more aggressive about our approach when we don't have the ball. I think when we do have the ball, I think we have to be a little bit braver. I think we have to, you know, have the belief that we're good enough. You know, and personally, getting onto Wes, speaking about Wes, just in that little hole, you know, where if we go like for like, as Brian was saying, and we try and match them physically, I think they're going to run all over us, if I'm being totally honest. I think technically they're better players than us, and I think physically they're probably bigger and more stronger. I think for blood, guts and thunder, we'll match them all day long, and we'll go to the very, very end. Will that be enough on the day? I'm not so sure, but I think we're at home. Yeah, the onus is on us to come out, but we don't really want to come out and expose ourselves getting done on the counter. But likewise, at some stage in the game, we are going to have to put our foot on the ball. We are going to have to threaten their back four, and we're going to try and have to push them back towards our own goal. And whoever he plays up the top, whether it be a runner to start when he plays Shane Long, who runs beyond, and Wes gets in the little pockets and then slides people down the side. And if it's 65 minutes and 70 minutes and he wants to take him off, I think if he plays Walters on the right, for me, I think he gives us balance. I think there's a goal threat from the back stick. But I think Coleman, who loves to get forward anyway, when he does go, Walters will fill in for him. I think the left-back position, we were speaking before, does he play Wilson, who will sit in but doesn't actually overlap? But then you've got McGeady in front, who probably defensively doesn't do as much. But you have the insurance of sitting Wilson in behind him. And, you know, I think the two boys in midfield will be very, very solid, be honest about the performance. They'll get it, they'll lend it, they'll go and support on the side of the ball. I don't think they'll run beyond too much, leaving big gaps. So it's a little bit of a cat-and-mouse game, a little bit of a chess game, but it's who can outthink the other team and who's brave. I think we have to be brave at home, but you know, the onus, as I say, is on us to try and win the game.
I think that's the team there, Graham. I'd agree with you. I think you'll go Coleman, Walters, Wilson, McGeady, McCarthy, Whelan. I'd play Wes, whether he will, I'm not sure. And I definitely think Robbie will play 100%. He's the only one that looks like scoring a goal for us. Long, he scored for Southampton last week. You're always looking for someone to step up to the mantle, but we're always so reliant on Robbie. But in fairness to Robbie, I would never, ever... I'd play him every time. He's the only one that you can rely on to score a goal for you. And he might not be involved in the game for 60 minutes, 70 minutes, 80 minutes. As you said, Wesley slides one down the side, bang, it's a goal if he gets a chance. And the others, I wouldn't be so sure, you know.
Robbie, I think Robbie's proved over the years, you know, his goal scoring record suggests that anyway, but he's got ice in his veins, you know. He's cool in front of goal. He's been there, done it at international level. This game itself won't faze him. He will be a leader, whether he plays or doesn't play, whether he comes off the bench. But it'll be very interesting to see what the team is Sunday, but it's going to be an intriguing encounter.
Brian, we're almost out of time. I can't believe it. Just looked at the clock, 52 minutes gone already. It's flown by. Increasingly, this week as it goes on, it started off, it's a game that we can't lose, but, you know, the more we hear little snips from the players that they actually believe they can go and win this game, and they're going to go, obviously, and give everything to try and win it. Do you think we will win it?
I think we've a fair show, given the problems that they have in the fact that they're missing four players who would be in their starting 11 or have been when they've achieved results. I mean, I just tried to explain something. The situation with the group where you've got Gibraltar and Georgia, you kind of take it for granted that everyone's going to beat them twice. So we all got 12 points. But there's a mini league between Germany, Poland, Scotland and ourselves. And that's what will decide it. Unless someone has a big boo-boo and drops points to Georgia, which the most likely that to happen now is probably Scotland away to Georgia. I think the rest are comfortable enough. So you kind of forget about those matches. It's only really how you do. So where it stands at the moment is Germany have 4 points in 3 games in that table.
Yeah.
Poland have 4 points from 3 games as well. Serving 2 games. They haven't lost one yet, Poland. No. They have 4 points from 2 games.
Two games.
Right? And we have lost. We have got 1 point from 2 games out of that lot. And Scotland have 4 points from 3 games. So it's the matches between those teams that are going to ultimately get it. We need to get to the last 2 games when we're away to Germany and a home to Poland, right? Sorry, away to Poland, the last game. We needed to get to that without having to go to Poland to win the last match, right? So it's critical that we get as many points as possible from Poland and Scotland in the next couple of games. That's now, whether it's 1-3 or 3-1, If you get me, whether we get 4 points, but we need to get 4 points from those 2 games.
Okay.
And I think we need to win on Sunday. That's how I see it.
Very quickly, lads. Mark, win or draw or lose?
I think we'll nick it in the end. I think we'll get a chance and we'll stick it away. Got to be solid from the word go. They'll have to, like I say, if they're going to come and defend, they're going to make a mistake in the 90 minutes. But we've got to keep pressing, keep probing. And we will get a chance, and I'll go 1-0 for us.
Graham, very quickly.
I'll go 2-1 win for us.
2-1 win for us, okay. And Alan?
Yeah, I'd love to see us win, but I think it might be a draw, Hugh.
Okay, listen, a huge thanks to our panel, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Kerr, Mark Kinsley, Graham Cameron, and Alan Cawley. Our thanks to Aviva. Hashtag Aviva Fan Studio if you want to get involved in the conversation right through Twitter. And my thanks to you all for being here as well. We'll stay tuned because Owen is on the way after the news.
Game on 2FM.
In association with Rabo Direct, the straight-talking savings bank.